You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. Welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Rosie on the House. It's our outdoor living hour, second Saturday of the month. That means we are talking trees. We've got ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower in the studio. If you'd like to join the conversation, talk trees, or have a tree question, 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. Or if you'd like a little help with plant or insect identification, you can snap a picture and email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Speaking of texting and emailing, it's amazing what you can do diagnostically now that we've got technologies. You can take a quick picture. I have customers call in. They've got a question. I'll often talk to them on the phone and just say, hey, can you go out in the yard and just take a couple pictures and send them my way? Oh, yeah, sure. Have them to you in about 5 minutes. And, you know, a couple minutes later, I've got the pictures on my phone. We're taking a look at it. You know, you can't do certain types of diagnostic work, armchair diagnosis, but there's quite a bit of stuff you can see. You know, right away, we can kind of eliminate several things and kind of get it dialed in. Sometimes we can, you know, give a pretty darn accurate diagnosis.
And here I was thinking I was all special when I text you my tree pictures and ask a question, and I got a personal response. Well, you do that for all your customers.
It's
I wouldn't
nice
expect anything
to leverage,
less.
Leverage all these technologies, you know, to be able to, help us in every area of our lives. It's pretty amazing.
And a great time for trees. Did you see my lemons out there I brought for everybody? I know
I
you probably have plenty, but that is one bag of three, and you can't even tell we picked a single lemon.
I know. It's amazing this time of year. Those of you who have lemon trees out there, you're going, yeah, nodding your head. Yeah, I know all about that. Yeah, lemons are the most prolific producer of fruit of any of the citrus. I don't know why that is, but they are just they just are amazing.
Amanda chopped up a few, put it in a open pot on the stove with some cinnamon and some other scents, and put it on medium warm, and the whole day long we just had
that's
this
a great
beautiful
idea.
Aroma.
I think
the
there's
going
to be some people doing that this morning. No, that's a great idea. No, you only wish those lemons were a little sweeter, because you know if they were an orange or a tangelo or a tangerine, you'd be eating them every day. But you can only use so many lemons. What can you do with all those 400 or 500 pieces of fruit?
Roxy does eat them straight out, just peels them and eats them like an orange.
Well, good for her.
She's one of a few people that can do that.
Yeah. I like to juice them and freeze it.
There you go.
We do that.
And you just got
put
containers of concentrate that you pull out all summer long.
And we put our bags out on the street, and the people who walk by jogging and stuff, they'll just pick up a few. And by the end of the week, that bag's gone. We'll put out another one. But the lemons go slower. You know, people grab one or two. If you put out some oranges, they'll grab four or five. Yeah, we had someone on Craigslist, or not on Craigslist, on Nextdoor, that app on the phone, had said, hey, we've got a tree with full of tangerines. Want to give them away? Well, they pulled that thing down after about 5 minutes. It was gone off there. You know, they'll say this message was ended. It was only a few minutes later. So they obviously got some takers who are going to come and take and strip that tree. Yeah, our fruit trees are just really putting the fruit on right now.
It's one of the five C's of Arizona.
We've got the tangerine trees that ripen just around Christmas. And when I was a kid, we always had a tangerine in our Christmas stocking every year. That was something my parents saw, the easy peel ones, you know. Well, now we have one of those easy peel tangerine trees in our yard, and it's really kind of a Christmas tradition with us to have one of those in all of our kids' stockings. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun this time of year. Citrus and Arizona. That spells Christmas to me, you know.
Perfect. And we have very similar. Dr. Rosie and Baby Kay they had a tangelo, a lemon, and a grapefruit. And I don't ever remember leaving there. We would be packed up and we'd be leaving, and Pop Rosie would be out there with shopping cart bags. No. Go get some citrus off of there. We'd have to go back, fill up our bags, and then carry them home.
Oh. I had a Facebook call question this week. Can you plant citrus trees this time of year?
You know, you can plant trees pretty much all year long in Arizona, but it is starting to get a little bit kind of cold this time of year, because it's all about the soil temperatures being high enough to be able to sustain root development. You know, quite often if you put a tree in the ground this late in the year, it's just going to sit there like a potted plant for several months until the soil temperatures warm up and that root activity gets started. So, you know, the fact that there can still be root activity in Arizona soils because we do have higher soil temperatures than anywhere else around the world, yes, you know, you can. But again, you've got the risk of frost damage, killing those new frost-sensitive trees like citrus, ficus. So we don't recommend planting any of those frost-sensitive trees this time of year. Better to wait until after the risk of frost is behind us, about the middle of February. Then you can start planting those frost-sensitive trees. Deciduous
but
trees?
If you had nothing else to do and you wanted to, you'd have to cover them, maybe wrap some lights around them. Take a little extra precaution to keep the frost. But yes, if you really wanted to and didn't have anything else better to do, you could.
Yeah, if you want to take those measures to protect them. And, of course, deciduous trees can be planted this time of year. There's a lot of bare root tree varieties that are perfect for this time of year. Your roses, your stone fruits, your apples, peaches, pears, plums. Greg Urban Farmer has a lot of those available this time of year. So, yeah, go out and buy your bare root fruit trees. This is the time of year to get those in the ground between now and the end of January.
And understand that no matter what type of fruit tree you're planting, whether it's citrus or stone or nut, you're not going to get a harvest next year more than likely. I mean, you might get a 15, 25-gallon citrus tree that's, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old that might produce for you. But generally speaking, citrus—
Wait a year or two.
Yeah, produce on mature wood, so it takes a couple years it to start producing. And then on your stone fruits, they only produce on new growth, but it takes a few years for that to be anything. You might get a peach in your first year, but it's going to be the size
of
a pea.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's producing that fruit on current year's growth, so you've got to have a couple of years' growth to get that to go. Yeah, it's really rewarding when you do put that, when you've planted your own fruit trees. I know many of our listeners have done that, and it's so nice when you get those first few pieces of fruit in that first year or so. I was with a customer just a week or so ago, and they had a little citrus tree they put in a couple of years ago and had 7 pieces of fruit on it. And they were just babying those little pieces of fruit. But they were so proud, you know, and it's such a rewarding thing to put in a tree yourself, see it produce fruit for that first year or two, and wow, then you're off and running. And like I've told our listeners in the past, I planted those 20-some-odd fruit trees one year at Greg Peterson's recommendation, not realizing that they were going to be a little crowded. But that was okay because then we've sort of thinned them out. Now we're down to about 17. And our yard is a veritable orchard. I've got, you know, peaches and plums, apricots. I actually have a pear tree that's producing fruit every year, really nice, crisp, sweet pears. And it's really nice when you have that fruit and it starts producing for you. And we give a lot away to the birds. But we get a fair amount ourselves, too. We don't even net the trees anymore because they're a little too tall for us to try to go to the effort. So we let the birds have their share. We try to get in there early enough to harvest enough for ourselves and our neighbors and then let the birds have a few as well.
Now, our tree of the month isn't a fruit-producing one, but it's a great shade-producing tree.
Yeah, the Texas live oak, or I should just call it the live oak. That's a safer description because it's Quercus virginiana, and it's
Course it is.
It's called of course it is. Yeah, it's one of several Quercus or oak varieties that are really popular here in Arizona. The southern live oak, the virginiana, is an amazing tree, evergreen, a beautiful. Bulletproof tree, I like to call them, because they have no known pests or insect problems or pathogen problems, which makes it one of those trees that you can put in with a lot of confidence that you're not going to have a lot of health issues with it. It's a little more slow growing than some of our other hybrid mesquites and palaverdes, but it's one of those trees that's really well adapted to our soil conditions and our temperature here. Once it gets established, it's a beautiful tree, super low maintenance, which is really nice. It doesn't require a lot of pruning. Again, it's a little more slow growing, but you can check with your nursery, and they have some varieties that are wider than they are tall, so you have more of a shade tree. Other ones that are more vertical and are taller than they are wide, so you'll have a nice, if you're looking for that vertical application in some of your yards, wanting a little more height to block a power pole in that back corner of your yard. We had one of our customers put one in just to screen out this power pole that was right in the corner of their backyard. And so we set that tree, and man, that thing's now about 35 feet tall. It's completely screened out that power pole, and that tree's doing really well. One of the other good qualities of live oak is they're adaptable to water, to a little higher water areas. So they're great for a lawn, and they can handle the water. Whereas a lot of our desert trees don't like their feet wet. And with that constant watering to keep the lawn going, it can really mess up a lot of our desert trees. But this live oak just loves water, so you can put it in a lawn setting, and they're just a really elegant and a really beautiful tree. It's one of my favorite trees. If I was listing on my top two favorite trees, neither one are native, but the Chinese elm and that Texas live oak are some of the nicest trees around and well adapted to our soil conditions and our temperature.
Now, the elm's deciduous, correct?
Yeah, elm is deciduous.
Now, your live oak's evergreen.
Yep.
So you've got one deciduous and one evergreen.
That's right. You got your choice.
And for those live oaks, you talked about some being wider and some being taller. Nurseries will propagate, if they find a tall one, they'll propagate the acorn harvest and they expect the next trees to take those
next
same
generation
characteristics.
To take on those characteristics.
And they'll actually grow them specifically for that. So
right.
If you're looking for
your
one
nursery,
or the other.
Exactly. So look for that cultivar. They have the cathedral live oak, which is the one that's a little taller than it is wide. And they're really popular. And so, but check with your nursery because you want to make sure you get the one that's going to suit your application.
We're talking trees with John Eisenhower, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation.